I don't always get a prophecy. When I leave here, I've been to church, and I know that the Lord's been there to help us, and I leave stronger than when I came. Not everywhere that you go, that's the case. I'm thankful for these, every one of you here. Thankful for your prayers. I appreciate the Lord. I talked to our Father today. Talked to your Father and my Father. And as I did, if you want to turn to the book of Judges. And as I did, I talked for a little while in my flesh. I just began to talk to Him. Lord, I'm just a piece of clay. Lord, I don't deserve to speak Your name. I'm not worthy, Lord, to call upon Your Son. I'm not worthy of the blood that You covered me with. I just begin there and I begin to pray. But you know what? After just a little while, maybe 15 or 20 minutes, not very long, out there at the base of the mountain behind the house in the barn, nobody but me and the Lord. Somebody on the inside of me, Brother Bobby, began to pray a little better than I could pray. The interceder of our souls began to talk from within and talk to God. He knows what I need to pray more than I know. Ain't it sweet? I'm glad that we feel even more of the Spirit moving here tonight than even last night. Feels more free. This might not be the easiest message to preach. You pray for me, will you? You pray as we try to do this. The Word of God says in the book of Judges, chapter 2, the Word of God says, just a few, four verses here, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Thank you for standing for the reading. Before you shut your scripture, in the chapter prior to that, verse 28 says, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. In chapter 2, what I read to you was the Lord coming by, and it said an angel of the Lord came up and spoke to God's people. And the angel of the Lord, you know He's on business. And you know He's serious, and you know every word that He said is true and settled, right? The Word of God says, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, God, in essence, said, our Father said to them in their day, I made you to come up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I'll never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. We know here, just a little bit of history, Brother Bobby. I might start slow here, but bear with us here. I'm going to preach just what the Lord gave me. A couple little words today out there as I begin to pray. I told you yesterday, Brother Bobby, and I don't know if it's wise to always say what you're going to preach, but that's one of my little ways here. Not always, but anyway. I wanted to preach on faith. I know there's people here that need healing that's not maybe here, but we're praying for those to be healed. And I've been wanting to preach on faith, and the Lord gave me a message a while back about faith, and I've been wanting to preach. But you know what? The Father knows more what we need. than what I know we need. And I was really, I had this very Bible out there, and I got a few little tags out here, and I hope I'm not offensive to you by doing that and a little highlighting here and there. But I went out there, and I began to pray, Brother Bobby, and it seemed like that as I began to say, Lord, and I turned back to the one that I had picked out and the things that I was thinking I wanted to read, and that I said, Lord, after about 15 or 20 minutes, I felt somebody helping me, and my direction changed a little bit, and it wasn't just me wanting to say, Lord, I want to help them. I wanted to help you. I still want to help you, but God knows how to help you when I don't see. Because God sees in your heart and He sees tomorrow. You might not make it to tomorrow. You know that? We don't know what tomorrow holds. But if we know who holds tomorrow and He's inside of us, then we'll be all right if we just hang on to Him and try to follow what He says. But I began to pray there, and as the Spirit began to help me to pray, Brother Bobby, I wrestled with the Lord for, I'm going to say, an hour. I don't know. I wasn't timing it. But then I wrestled with Him, Brother Bobby, because the words that came to me was, it's the little things. It's just those little things. And I said, well, last night, Lord, I preached about praying, God, and well, if we'll just heed that message, we won't run into them little things. It'll be all right, Brother Bobby. Now, I know I'm not the evangelist that was here, but I feel a burden in my soul, and I haven't been right since then. So if I'd have stayed till midnight, whoever would have stayed, I'd have had to unload my soul here, because the Lord said those little things, just the little things. And I believe everybody here's saved that I know, as far as I know. Everybody here's covered by the blood of Jesus. A fellow I hadn't seen here, I'll forget his name, I'll get in a mess if I say it, I'm Braden or something anyway. And I was asking him if he's saved, and he said, yeah. I said, well, thank the Lord. So everybody that I know of here is saved, and I want you to stay saved. Do you know that you can go back out in the world? I'm looking out for your soul when I say that kind of thing. The Word of God says here, it's 8:30, amen. Help me, honey. I told her to help me so I'm not so long and it irritates you. But I want to obey the Lord here. When I was out there, the Lord began to deal with me the little things. Those little things sometimes, Brother Bobby, get in the way, and then they become bigger things, Brother Bobby. And I began to go back in after I prayed there and felt satisfied. And I got back in and began to read here and in different places there. And in the history right here, Joshua, after they come across, God's children was delivered from bondage. We know that. We're delivered from bondage, right? We're saved. We talked about that there. We come up out of bondage, and He led them through the wilderness because of their disobedience and their attitude is why it took them so long. But they got to Jordan, and they went across Jordan, and they were facing giants there, sometimes like they had never faced before, Brother Bobby. And there was an enemy that the Lord had said to Joshua. When you read there in the first part of Joshua, it said, fear not, and don't be dismayed, or be strong. Be of good courage, and be strong, because wherever you put your foot down, I'm going to give it to you, said the Lord. The Lord said, I'll give you that land wherever you put your foot down. It's already yours. I'm going to give it to you. And the Lord kept His word, but He said there in the first of Joshua, don't turn from the left to the left, and don't turn to the right. Just stay straight, and then I will turn out the enemy from before you, and I will give you that land. Amen. How many wants to make progress for God? I do. I want to defeat the enemies, don't you? I don't know what enemy that you're facing. You don't know mine. But I know we're all facing an enemy every single day. The history here, Joshua led them in a little bit of time. Sometimes in there, they begin to want to get their fingers in the wrong thing. We know the story of Achan. I won't even cover that. They don't have the time. But Achan began to look at things and begin to see things that he wanted in his flesh. And he said, I don't want to obey God. I want to obey my flesh. That's right. That's what he done. And we'll leave it there. Since I said I won't get into it, I'll go the other direction right here for right now anyway. But as the Lord led them there, the life of Joshua, for the most part, whenever they went in and they obeyed God, God said to them something, and I've thought about it for a few days, but then today it really, really got a hold of me, Brother Carter. The Lord had said to them, throughout there, and even before that, but continuously in the Word of God, that you find where God said, I want you to go into the enemy's land where I'm giving it to you, my children, who I've got it for, but you have to utterly destroy the enemy. Utterly means absolutely, completely destroy the enemy. And they did that sometimes. But when I got right here to this part right here, as you Bible readers know, there's times in there that they didn't. And even in the verse 28, he just said there, You know that the Canaanites, those Ites and Tites and all the names of them were the enemies coming against God's children, trying to slow down God's children, trying to defeat God's children. But God had said, if you don't turn to the left and if you don't turn to the right, and if you just obey the words that's in there, Joshua 1 and verse 8 or 9, 10, in that area said, if you stay in the Word and you take every bit of that Word and you don't turn from it and you don't go the other directions, I will defeat all of your enemies. He didn't say, you defeat your enemies. God said, I will defeat your enemies if you don't turn from the left and the right. And God said, utterly destroy them. As they would go through those lands, they would destroy them utterly. And then you get down through it some of the times. Sometimes they had it in their heart after some of them had been given their blessings there. And some of the tribes had been given some of the lands allotted out to them, Brother Bobby. And you can read, well, they had driven them out some. And God's children had went this way, but they did not utterly destroy. They did not utterly take out the enemy. And I begin to think of putting my mind, Brother Bobby, there. And I begin to think, as a man of war, we know that this is spiritual. We know all of it's spiritual, right? Even though it sounds like really a sword cutting somebody, it happened that way. But it relates to us in our days as spiritual fights. And we understand, I don't really need to go there. So whenever they were fighting the enemy, it's like us fighting the enemy. And the Lord had said to them to utterly destroy. And I begin to think, Brother Bobby, it said the infants and the children and the women. And I can picture myself as a man of war. Yeah, I can't really. You know what? You can't either. I know that. But you know what I'm saying? In my mind, I begin to go, Sister Jess, and I begin to think of how they must have felt, Brother Bobby. See, they were human. I mean, they were not dogs. They were not bears. They were human beings. These were human. Even though they were different times, they were still heart-beating, mind-leading human beings, you know. But they still had a thought and a conscience in them somewhat. Amen. But they were told by God, you go out there, and everything that you see that breathes, even, it said. And when you see it's a breathing, you stop it from breathing. And I begin to think, yes, I could. If I knew that they was going to take my daughters and my wife and try to feed them something other than my God, I'd pull out the sword. I can understand that, can't you? But that'd be an easy one to kill, wouldn't it? You know, it'd be easier. I don't want to kill nothing right now. I ain't ever been hunting. Amen. Well, my son's going to get into hunting, so I guess here we go. Amen. We'll see. I guess I killed a fish sometime, maybe, or a bird, maybe. But I can just see in my mind anyway. I begin to think, how would it really have felt? You be spiritual. I'm not being trying to be funny. But when you think about what they really had to go through, Brother Bobby, they had to go into them tents and them homes and them places, and they had to take a sword or a spear or an arrow and a bow, and they had to trample and slaughter and slay the children. But the children weren't going to hurt them. They're just babies. They're just little ones. They're just little. They're not going to hurt you like that. Just train them up. It's okay. But the thing is, inside those little ones, all they could see is, honey, look at its dimples. It's just a little thing. Just a little. I had to save that one. I couldn't kill it. It looked up at me and looked up at me and said, Daddy. And it's like, told me, you know, you can just go in your mind. How hard would it be, Sister Elder, to go take and to slay, even if there are enemies? I can't imagine right now going over to the Eastern world over there, and because they believe in Muhammad and because they don't love Jesus Christ, I can't imagine going over and slaughtering a bunch of babies. Can you? No. I know you can't. No, that's not how we're geared. But right then, that was the way that they would kill the enemy of God. And God said to them, go kill the enemy and utterly destroy all that's before you, a small and great. It does not matter who they are, whether it's blonde or brown, a redhead, whether it's cute or fuzzy or what. I said, go kill it because it's your enemy. See, God can see what we can't see. We can look and say, oh, that's just innocent, Brother Russ. That's just not, it's not going to hurt me. I'm just going to keep five of them, and over here I'm going to raise them right, and they're going to be just like me, them little boys. Oh, that'd been all right. I would have said, and so did they. Because it got to them lands in their heart for some reason. Because of the enemy of their soul saying, you don't have to kill that. The infants, it said, I looked it up and it said, infants. I can't. I couldn't do it. You know how much flesh you are? 100%. You know how much flesh they were? 100%. I know it's a different day. And even in a different part of the world right now, it's different than it is here in this day. But I can't imagine doing that. I can't even fathom in my mind how could you take something and say, "You're my enemy." I can't imagine it. But then I look in today's society and I see things that we say, "Oh, that's just innocent. It's not that bad. It's just, it don't look that bad. It's just a little, yeah, it's just little. It's kind of cute. It's not really going to hurt me, Brother Bobby. If I go over here just for a little, it's nothing really wrong. Tell me where it's not really wrong. Is it that? That ain't what it really means. That really won't hurt me. I'm stronger than that. I got more of God than that." And we go day by day, Brother Carter, and we find ourselves, everybody, you think the pastor don't? Pastor, have you ever fought? Yes, we do. Yes, you do. And the enemy will try to slip things in on you that are little. He will not walk up to your door, chances are, and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about adultery." They won't stop by with their mask on and say, "Hey, I'm going to rob a bank. Come on, go with me." I'm not being silly. I want you to believe. I want you to hear what I've got to get this point across right here tonight. God knew you'd be here and He knew I would too. And God spoke, your Father spoke. The Father that adopted you by the blood of His Son and died for you spoke to my soul today through the Spirit, amen, and began to say those little things, those little bitty things, those things that don't look like much, but they'll take it to Him if you let Him grow. Guess what? Everything starts little. If I were to go drop you off in Africa today, if I were to go drop you off over there and say, "You're all right, don't worry about nothing," you'd say, "Hey, I know better. There's lions and hyenas out there. Sorry about your luck. Get me back in there. I ain't stopping here." Wouldn't you? Do you know that every one of those lions started out microscopic? Then they became a baby. Then they became just a little bit, you know, fuzzier, maybe. You could even have went up and touched it if mommy wasn't around. That's right. Probably even a little hyena. You know that an alligator comes from an egg. You know that, right? I don't like how they look. I don't like lizards or snakes of any kind. But you could probably take an alligator egg and sit there and hold it all day long. And I doubt that that egg's going to bite you. That egg started everything that's mean today. Every beast of the field, Brother Bobby. Everything naturally. I'm trying to help us just for a few minutes. Everything naturally that can hurt you right now, beast-wise, starts off microscopic. It's not big, Brother Bobby. So really, it's not that we're scared of the lion. It's we're scared of not the alligator or any of them. But we're not afraid of the egg. It's an alligator egg. It's a snake egg. It's a baby lion. It's just little. It's the size of it. Right? We're all on the same page. God said the little things. As I begin to search here for a little bit, I begin to find out that those little bitty things, do you know this book is full of fights? Do you know that this book is full of defeat sometimes? And do you realize if they would have done everything God said in the beginning, it would have been a whole lot smoother, a whole lot quicker, amen? They may have just defeated them in the first place. I don't know if you believe in the zoo or not. I don't want to offend nobody, but I have in my past life, not recently, but I have been to the petting zoo. When it's petting zoo and it's baby season or baby whatever they call them, little. Yeah, I'll just hush, preacher. You already got the point. Well, listen. Everybody thinks they're cute when they're little. Even though that same cute thing, just in a few years and a couple hundred pounds of meat later, will be able to crunch every bone in your body. But we want to go up and touch it. And it's a thrill. It's a rush to go, "I just touched a Bengal tiger." That's something else. It could have hurt me, but it won't because it's little. And just that little adrenaline rush there saying, it couldn't hurt me now. But do you know sin is the same way? Those little, I don't believe anybody right here is going to go out tonight and commit adultery. I don't. But I also know the enemy of your soul. I've fought him before, amen. And I fought him even today and last night while I preached God's gospel. I began to fight the enemy of your soul. You know why? Because I was preaching to you, pray. Talk to God, amen. And the enemy was saying, don't say it. Shut him up. Shut the mouthpiece up. Don't tell him to pray. And I began to tell you to pray. And the enemy was right here fighting me. You know why? Because God knows what we need, amen. God knows where we are. If you don't have something that's trying to nag at you now, be careful because it will happen to you. I don't care how new a Christian, I don't know you, buddy, so I won't pick on you. But those of you that are newer Christians, don't care how old you are. And those of you that have been in it the longest, Brother Bobby's pastor 25 years, there is an enemy after you. In hell, you are a wanted woman and you're a wanted man. Hell, hell's not going to say, well, you know what, he is a pretty good boy. He's wanting to destroy you, and if he can slip a little bitty thing in, or just a little bitty, it's just a seed. An oak tree starts as a seed. In the front yard, them little helicopter maple seeds are coming down. Just a seed. I can pick up 12 or 50 or 100 of them, Brother Carter, and just, and I've done it. Because I like to. But you know what? Where they came from was from that mommy oak, or mommy maple. Bigger around than I can put my arms around. I can't hardly break a limb off of it because it's big. And it took it a while, but it was a seed to start with. Hey, oh, I just don't know hardly which direction to go. I'm trying to feel the Spirit. But the Lord said, God said, it's those little things. There was I read this several years ago and just thought about it here. But there was a zookeeper, had a friend, I believe her name was Rachel. I can't remember, read the article. And her friend Rachel, he knew about animals. He knew how dangerous some of them could be. But that was his specialty. And she wanted to get a raccoon, and she got a raccoon from a baby somehow. She began to raise it up, and she nursed it, and you know the things. And as she began to raise that raccoon, she thought it was just Anita Saint Samson, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, she began to raise this raccoon. You know, raccoons are not made to be tame. They're nature. The nature of a raccoon is wild. The nature of the enemy of your soul is wild. And she began to train that up and said, it's okay. I let him crawl on my shoulder. I let him crawl around on me. He sleeps beside of me. You better watch it, she said. He told Rachel. He said, you better watch little Samson, because little Samson is going to go through some changes. He's going to morph into a mama, a daddy, a raccoon. He's going to become a daddy one of these days. And then the hormones are going to change, and his attitude will too. He's going to be snuggling up to you while he's a baby. He might not, and you might, and he might know you got the upper hand. But when the hormones inside of him, when that beast inside of him begins to rage and begins to rise up, then it won't be so safe, Rachel. Oh, I know him. He's like one of my own. And a few months later, guess where Rachel was? Rachel was having plastic surgery because Rachel didn't heed the warning that the man that knew what he was talking about had said to her. And she began to sleep with him. And one day those hormones raised. And Samson the raccoon got a hold of her face and began to rip her face off, amen, and bit into her. And you know why? Because it was the nature of the beast. The tender mercies. Listen to me. I never thought about this. I don't have a message written down here. This is right out of heaven. The tender mercies of the wicked is cruel. That's the word of God. The tender mercies of the enemy. The tender mercies, the best, tender, most loving that the enemy can be, is cruel. The enemy might look pretty out there. Young people, I don't know why I pick on you. I don't even want to look at you, so I won't pick on you. I won't pick you apart, but I know. You know what my heart was? You know what breaks me, Brother Poppy? Because when I was your age, I began to let that thing bite me, and I ended up in the world, and I've got natural scars on my body, and I've got a mind full of scars, and chances are great I won't live very long as I would have. I mean, long as I would have because of the enemy of my soul. Don't you ever let the enemy get a hold of you and say, it's just a little this. It's okay. It's not that bad. It's just a little thing. It's kind of cute. It won't really hurt you. That preacher don't know what he's talking about. The Bible don't really mean that. That zookeeper knew what he's talking about. He specialized in it. The Spirit of God knows what he's talking about. He specializes in him, drawing you from the hands of the enemy and into the arms of God. Is that not right? That's right. Hey. It's little things. God spoke that to me and I wrestled. I said, Lord, I want to encourage him, God. I want to lift him up, God. I finally just let go. I finally just let the Spirit, who knows, who specializes in your soul and mine, he began to pray for me. And all I could give was it like a seed. It's a little things. They start like a seed. It's a little things. Just the little ones. Go ahead and have a little bit of bitterness. Just a root. Just a root, brother. Little bitty root. That maple seed, you know where it has to go first before it can grow up? Root has to go down. You know what it has to do? It has to germinate and become nourished. The Word of God says, the divinely inspired, forever settled Word of God says, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 14. That's not which. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. I've heard it 100 times, preacher. Every man is tempted. Every woman is tempted. Every man is tempted. Every woman is tempted. You are tempted. Don't act like we're so holy. I know you're not. I'm just saying, let's don't say, hey, I can stand. I can surely. I have. And I can. And I do. And I'm... Oh, there's little things out there. The little foxes destroy the vine. It's those little things that get inside. Those little bitty roots. Every man and woman is thrown away by their own lust and enticed. Then, listen to this here. I want to make this point, Brother Bobby. If I can in a few minutes. Then, listen here. Word of God, when you break it, you can just listen and only have what it says and don't add all these other things. Just what it says. I got a King James Version Bible right here. You need to check it. It's right here. It says, God's divine inspired Word says, then when lust hath conceived, when lust hath conceived, when it's conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin is the breaking of the law of God. Lust that comes to your mind that you turn away and say, get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. By the blood of the Lamb of God, I will not accept this. I'm bigger than that, and the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds and casting down of every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Amen. You think it ain't it possible? It's possible. Amen. But the Word of God says lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. When it comes your way, just miss it. Then it won't be conceived. Brother Carter had to look another one up in that James Strong today too. Hey, I'm just, you know what that word means to conceive? To begin to be alive or live independently. That lust that comes your way, young people. That thing that comes your way. I'm not talking about the lust of the other woman or man. The lust to have bitterness. The things inside your heart that says, I hate him. I'm jealous of them. I don't care what they say. Every bit of it, amen. It starts. hearts, amen, with the desire, a lust and enticed of our own desire. And if we water it, if we germinate it, if we fertilize it, if it is conceived, then it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, amen, brings forth death. I don't want none of you to die. I don't care how old. I don't want none of you, Brother Percy. I don't want nobody to die. The wages of sin is death. You got to work for them. But the gift of God, it's free. Woo! Just a couple of weeks ago, I ran into this. I'll throw it in. I didn't realize this, but the only two times that the Word of God, I might already said it, the only two times that I can find recorded in God's Word where the Word says, it is finished, is when Jesus Christ finished the work of salvation for our souls. He didn't say, I'm finished. He's at the right hand of God interceding for you. He never got finished. God is still working. The Son is still interceding. And the Holy Ghost is still moving if we let Him. Amen. Amen. He wasn't finished. But God said on the cross of His Son, it is finished. And the plan of salvation, the sacrifice for all that lust that you do conceive, it does come your way, can all be taken away from us. Amen. But the Word of God says, lust, when it had conceived, bringeth forth sin. You know where to stop it from being sin and breaking God's law? Before it's conceived. Before you water it. Before you germinate it. Before you let it grow. Young people, that raccoon, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I guess I'm being led because I never thought about saying young people that many times. Once you water it, Did you feed that thought? And you say, one time of this over here. I just can't stand it. You know what? Them stupid people. When you feed it. I'm not dismissing the lust of the flesh too. You know what I'm saying? Every bit of it that's not godly. Every single bit of it. Every touch. Everything that's not godly. Every thought that's not godly. It starts small. He never did throw a lion down or an elephant down or an alligator down. He never did throw the adulterer down that did not start one day, Brother Carter, saying, well, she's pretty good looking. Right? It started in your mind as a thought. It starts inside of our mind. And it's just a little bitty thought. And you say, devil's looking. He wondered. He hesitated. She hesitated. They did pick up the phone to call. It was. And he'll come back another time. Church, those little things. God told me little things. I'll try to stick on little things here. God said, God said it to me. The source I'm alive, God said it to me. Your Father knows what you have need of. And you don't even know what tomorrow holds. But God knows what you need tomorrow and tonight and what I need. I'm not above falling. Oh, help me, Lord, lest I become a castaway. I don't want to be there, Brother Carter. Amen. But those little things, when they're conceived, and when those seeds are watered, and when those eggs are hatched, amen, and when they become to grow, then is when they cause us the problem. They're innocent. I couldn't imagine that. I can imagine them going through and slaughtering the little baby girls. Would have been hard. It'd been hard, Brother Bobby. I'm sure that's why they didn't. And I'm also sure, because I've read it, that's why they fought throughout the Word of God. That's why they failed throughout the Word of God. Because they gave their daughters to marry their sons. And they took their daughters and gave them to their sons. And it began to mix. And then you know what happened? Amen, church. Once you become adapted to, once you get a little closer to, once that thing is conceived in you and it begins to live, you lose a little more control over it. Amen. Amen. You know, my wife never had control of that baby inside of her. It grew the way it was going to grow, amen. She could feed it. Yes, there's things that she could have done. And I'm just throwing that in there so you help me understand here. But the, amen, it was on its own once it's conceived. Once it's in your mind, once you feed that little bit of thing, once you feed it just a little bit, it grows. And then it gets strong enough on its own, Brother Bobby. And then it can grow more. And then it can feast more on your soul. And then it grows more. And it becomes big. Amen. There's two lions inside of every one of us. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Or the roaring lion. That wants to talk from the outside and put it on the inside. See if it'll grow. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want it to grow. God seen down the line those cute little 3-4-year-old girls, little dimples. Come here. Sounds almost silly. It does. Some of what comes your way, you couldn't hurt it. It's not bad. It's, honey, you think this is bad? This ain't. If you're not careful, church. It's not that bad. It's just a passing thought. It's okay. The next day it's a passing thought. And then it takes a stop right for a second. And the next day it stops. And before you know it, you're watering that. It begins to grow. I'm going to tell you something. The devil don't just jump up and go boo. He growls. He's like the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you, if the lion of the tribe of Judah is greater inside of you than what the enemy is on the outside, you will not fall to him, amen. You won't have to give in to him. You won't listen to him when it begins to roar, because there's one on the inside roaring louder than what's on the outside. And you know that little saying, the little thing to say, the little man on my shoulder, there's this little voice in your head. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Amen. One of them is the Spirit of God and one of them is the enemy talking to you. You don't have to. You don't have to stay away from there. It's not wrong to go there. It's not a big deal. Don't you go to the left. And don't you go to the right. And if you don't, I'll deliver all the enemies into your hand. I will advance you. I will deliver you. But if you turn from my word, if you begin to let that lust be conceived and bring sin in your life, then we got to that point right there. The only place I could find there to the Strong's that the word Botsam was even mentioned in the word was in that chapter. Boats them ever how you want to pronounce it. You know what that means? Weepers weeping. Do you know why they were weeping? Do you know why right here that the angel of the Lord came up to them? And it was a sad day for them. But it was just a little bit of fun thing here just a few days ago. It was just a few cute little girls and boys and women here just a few days ago. And now the angel of the Lord comes down with judgment. And the angel of the Lord says through God to them from God. And says, now we're at Bochum, we're at Bochum, whichever way you want to pronounce it. It still means the same thing, Brother Carter. It means weepers weeping. Weepers weeping. And you know why that was? Because that place was where there was a great lament that went up to the Lord. It wasn't just because he was caught. This time they knew that it was wrong. And this time, Brother Bobby, now it wasn't just that enemy girl. Now they've already married my boy. And they've already had me grandbabies. And now it's mine. Now it's mine. Now they've intermarried into the enemy. Now they played with sin too long with the enemy. Now they just took them. I'm just going to keep them a slave. I'm just going to keep them over under my hand. Your hand ain't big enough for the enemy. Our hand's not big enough, amen. And the angel of the Lord came there to them and said to them there, you did not obey my voice. I said, I'll never break my covenant with you. And I also told you, don't ever break yours with me. Don't you turn to the left or the right. And you didn't keep it. Why? God knew why. That day, it wasn't little Susie or so-and-so over there. They'd already married my son, and I'm already holding the grandbaby. Now guess what? Now it's not just slaughtering somebody you don't know their name. Now it's slaughtering little Joseph. Now it's slaughtering little Susie. Now it's become mine. Now it's one my flesh and blood. Now it's part of me. Now it's grown up to be part of my family, Brother Bobby. Now on this day, now it's already married into the mix of us. Now it's part of us. It's not just a seed out there. Now it's us. Now it's not sin on the outside we got to slay. Now it's my sons and my daughters that I got to slay. Now it's in the family now. Now it's personal. Now I got blood in the game. Now it's real to me. I couldn't cut little Susie, open my Susie. Oh, I could never get rid of that one. I could never slaughter them now. Now they're mine. Now I've conceived of them. Now I've taken them into my family. Now they're part of us. You take something in so long. We take things in so long. It'll become just normal. It becomes just easy. It becomes not so hard to get. It's hard. Do you know the easiest time to kill that alligator? When it's in the egg. Take his foot and bruise its head. Hey man, when it's little, you got a chance of slaughtering Susie out there that ain't married your son yet. You know what I'm saying? I hope I didn't lose anybody. Y'all know what I'm saying? They were the enemies, though it didn't look like enemies. It might not look like an enemy to you. That's why I say stay on the center line of holiness, amen. My pastor preached so well here a while back on the center line of holiness, amen. I don't want to get so close to the edge that you get knocked off, amen. You know what? The enemy's out there trying to draw us off of this way. Oh, I don't know. Well, the enemies are pulling. The little things and seed. You ever had an apple with a wormhole in it? I'm not a farmer. Not a red, Brother Bobby. You might have read it. I read an article. It said, do you know where the worm in the apple comes from? It didn't dig its way into the inside of that. There was an insect, a little bitty insect. I came up on that blossom one day and like a little tiny egg you couldn't even see. And then in a little bit of time, God lets them grow. And that blossom becomes a bud. And that bud becomes a little bitty apple. And that little bitty apple becomes a bigger apple. And in the meantime, somewhere in there, that worm is nourishing off of what it was planted in. And if it's not careful, it will destroy the worth of that apple. If it gets it big enough and it grows strong enough, he'll destroy that apple and you'll say, I don't want that one. And you know what God would say? You get a little bit of seed in there, Brother Bobby, on the inside, and let the canker worms of hell get inside of you, amen. And it might look little just when you're blossoming, or just when you're freshly new in God, just while you're growing. But as you grow, if you're not careful, it'll become easy. And on the inside, there's an enemy growing. And if we don't kill him while he's little, he'll destroy our worth. Oh. The little things. All through the Word of God. If you'd have stopped it from Judges, Kings, and back, and killed every single one of them, they'd have been free. They'd have whooped all the enemies. God would have whooped all their enemies. And do you know the reason that God did not whoop them? He said right there, they shall be a thorn in your side. They're going to be something you can't get rid of and going to stick on you. It'll be like having a pair of pants if you're a man, or dress if you're a woman and walking through the woods and you get a briar on it or a thorn or something stuck on it. Every time you walk, it's You get home, you got 20 spots on you like that turning red. You've been there, I can tell already, amen. And you know something, that thorn, it ain't easy to carry around. But 2-3 days later, when you sweat up like that, it's even worse, amen. And you know what they needed to do? Not have the thorn there in the first place, amen. And you know what they should have done? Killed them in the first place, amen. Killed them in the first place. If they'd have killed them on day one, if they'd have obeyed God. If they'd have stayed right in the middle, not turned to the right or the left, I challenge you to go home and read Joshua chapter 1, all of it. Please do that for me just because I love you and you love me because we're all Christians. Even if you didn't say you love me. God gave him plain instructions starting Joshua off. Said, you go get the Ark of the Covenant, go down there to the river. I'm going to send you across. I'm going to defeat your enemies. Be strong. Be of good courage. It's okay. Wherever you put your foot, it's yours. I've already won the battle for you. I will defeat your enemies. I will deliver you. Amen. Amen. How long's it been? Amen. Hey, I've already done it. But you don't turn to the left and you don't turn to the right. Amen. You know what's right, don't you? You know the word's right, don't you? Yes, preacher, but the Word of God don't say don't do that. Did I say 8:35? Okay. Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, brethren, seeing you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Amen. Let us lay aside every, and it says it. If I can't, I'm a glass of defining. Amen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Easily beset us. Epeiristatos, thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. That word in the Greek, Brother Carter, Epeiristatos, easily besets us. That means too easily, without much problem, slow us down or retard us from running. It will slow us down easily. The devil don't even have to try hard sometimes to stop us from running because of the weights and the sins. He did not say sin only. Sin will stop you and you better get back to the altar. Go to the cross. But he said every weight. Every little bitty weight. Every little bitty thing. I could pray more, but you know what? I got that game and I got this every weight. It don't say don't have one of them. It don't say don't go. It don't say that, preacher. You guys are all just a bunch of nuts out there. Y'all just mean. God's Word said, you want to run? You want to get to me? Lay it all aside. Lay aside your sin, yes. Lay aside the weights that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are. Yet, how many Christians we got? Raise your hand and be proud. Christians all across the house. Like Christ. Little Christians, being just like Christ. As much as you can. He was tempted like as we are. If you find somebody that's in a battle that you don't know what to do, Brother Bobby, I just don't know how to help them. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But it was on all points. This says, he says, he was tempted like as we are, but he didn't sin. We can do it and not sin. How? Pray. God didn't want to be preaching tonight, Brother Bobby. I didn't. I've never preached this before ever. I've never preached out of this, as far as I can remember. Never. God knew what I'd be preaching. God knew what you needed. I know you just had a revival and your pastor echoed tonight and said it's the best one you've had in years. You stay high on the mountain. But as you're up there, don't let them little thorns start grabbing onto your pants legs. Don't let them skeeters lay any eggs in your skin. Don't step in them ant hills and carry any eggs home. Because them little things will grow up and take you down. But I can whoop it, brother. I can go there. They only serve beer right there. I'm on the other side. Be careful if that's a snare in your flesh. Be really careful if that's a snare. If you've been in the world and you've been a drunkard, don't you go sit over there. If you're tempted of it, don't sit there and look at it. If you go in and they started, get out and get out. Amen. Because the devil will take it and you go. That's my old buddy Weiser. You know what I'm saying? Church, I know you're smiling. That's what they say. Whatever it is that aggravates you from God, Brother Bobby, if you put so much time into making grapevine trees that you neglect and you look back and you say, in a year's time, I used to pray 30 minutes a day. I used to pray an hour and a half a day. I've been so busy. I'm praying a half hour. I still preach, you know, I try to get as many as I can so I don't have to, but I'm not saying he, you know what I'm saying. Be careful, because it just might be a little seed. And that 30 minutes is not so much different than 28 minutes. It's not so much different than 20 minutes of praying. Before you know it, Brother Bobby, you're not praying. And I'm coming in here and every service is going to be dead. And he won't be having the Holy Ghost move on him like that. And I'm not mocking the Holy Ghost. He won't be shouting anymore. He won't be reaching for your soul anymore. And when that happens, your soul won't be reaching up anymore. You better, we better get rid of the little things, the little weights that does so easily beset us. Honey, Jess or whoever, somebody come on. So I'll just hush here. Sin is only after the lust is conceived. When lust is watered, when you give it enough life for it to grow on its own, those seeds, tomato seeds, we tried to germinate. I don't have a green thumb. Look at my plants, I don't have a thumb. I can't hardly. My mother-in-law can. She can. Whew, her God. Anyway. Thank the Lord for mom-in-laws. I love her. Not just because of her maters and her salsa. I love her. She's good to us. Put a few seeds in some water. Try to germinate them, get them started, then bust them up and soaking. Then when I put them down in a little bit of water, mud, I look back and it was mud. It wasn't water. It's so muddy. It's so watery. But if we do that, when you really do it right, you water it. You get it to where it's soaking up that water and taking out the nutrients out of the water, and then you put it into the dirt, and then it goes. In my own words, because I can't explain it any better, because I'm just like that. And that root says, hey, there's something to feed on here. Let's put the roots down. We can grow in this stuff. We can grow here. We can become strong here. Don't you let the enemy get inside and get comfortable on the inside and say, I just got to put a root down. And when I get that root down, then I get strong. Then I'll get strong. And then I can overcome. Come on, everybody stand so I hush because I just feel good. Those little... God, see, God knows. Like I said, I don't know, Brother Carter, if you had any little things aggravate you today or last week. I don't know. I know you fight the devil. And if you had some, you might not even recognize them. Some things little you don't recognize until you say, what? That's not something I have. See what that grows up to be. Be careful, church. I feel like the Lord helped us. I told you yesterday, he said something about that preacher was the steak or sirloin or something. And he was the bologna. I told you I was the bacon bits. Yeah. I'm showing myself friendly. I hope the Lord on. But you know what? Even though I'm just the bacon bits. Brother. You know what? The Holy Ghost talks to me too.
Yeah, it does.
Back here on my knees today, the Holy Ghost told me, just as sure as I'm a living, standing here breathing in front of you, said to tell them it's little things. It's just the little things. Be careful for the little things. The little bitty things. Not the murders and adulteries. Just the little bitty things that will grow up to be big things. Come on, play something. Come on. Those of you that need more of the Lord, let's come and talk to Him. The devil's out there and he wants your soul. He's got some little things in mind for you, every one of us. And the way to get around every single little one of them is to get on our knees and talk to the one that gets everything good growing and everything bad dying. Amen. It's only through the Holy Ghost. Amen.